Hello. You by any chance struggling with sleep today? Well, fear not. I'm here to help. Did you know that, did you know that you can put whatever you want on a Kindle? I didn't. I think that it's pretty fucking obvious that you can. But I don't know about you guys. I feel like a Kindle is something really wholesome. It may be due to the nature of my work. I didn't really think, you know, I'm going to put my audio porn scripts on this. I'm going to read my scripts off of it. But you know what I did think of? An SFW. And I haven't made one of those in a while. So I thought it'd be nice, and I had the idea to put this script I have written by Kaya ASMR on YouTube about some Bloodborne lore. Yeah, I know a lot of you, probably most of you, are dealing with some cold weather right now, so it'd be nice if you could comfy up, you know, lay down, or get a throw blanket in case you're on your sofa. Or put some nice comfy clothes on in case you're doing something and listen to me nerd out about some silly little video game until you hopefully fall asleep. And yeah, I'm gonna slowly magically fade in some campfire sounds, some fireplace sounds, I don't know. Something about wood crackling, you know, like a wood candle, is really pleasant to me. I think it's going to be pleasant for you too. So, you don't have an option. You really don't. So, anyways, get comfy and, yeah, enjoy.
Bloodborne takes place in a decrepit, Victorian-like city called Yharnam. Yharnam is known across the lands for its blood transfusions. This special blood, referred to as the Old Blood, is administered by the Healing Church and is believed to miraculously cure all illnesses. The city draws many travelers for this reason. You play as someone known as the Hunter, an outsider who came to Yharnam seeking this blood in hopes of being healed. However, the blood has a terrible secret. Centuries ago, there was a race of advanced human beings called Themerians. Below the city of Yharnam is an ancient underground labyrinth of Themeru known as the Chalice Dungeons. This labyrinth was built by the Themerians, who were said to have discovered a sinister truth, supposedly a state of existence that the Great Ones inhabited. It is within this underground labyrinth that the Themerians came in contact with the Great Ones and began worshipping them. The Great Ones are powerful, godlike alien beings who have elevated their consciousness to a higher plane, beyond the physical realm. Even so, the Great Ones can still interfere with events in the physical world. At some point, an ascension took place to the higher planes, and there are many references to some Great Ones being left behind. This implies that before their ascension, the Great Ones existed only in the physical world. The early Themerians were servants of the Great Ones, and both species coexisted in harmony. Over time, the Themerian civilization evolved, forming a hierarchy with a monarch. The Themerian Elder Root Chalice says, "The Themerian monarch was traditionally a woman who assumed a name with classical roots. This suggests that the Themerians did not have a royal family, and that the monarch was elected, which is why they needed to choose an appropriate name. The Great Ones are unique beings. There is no clear similarity between individuals, at least physically. Because of this, they cannot breed with one another. As a result, they choose instead to impregnate humans in order to reproduce. The Ring of Betrothal states, in the age of the Great Ones, wedlock was a blood contract only permitted to those slated to bear a child, a special child in this case. The woman who was chosen was the Themerian Queen Yharnam. This explains why a woman was chosen to rule, or perhaps the Great Ones chose who to bear their next child. Then the Themerians would elect that person as their next monarch. The blood contract was the blood of the Great Ones, gifted to Queen Yharnam, which allowed her to conceive a Great One. Once Queen Yharnam took the blood of the Great One into her veins, the Themerians began to notice the power of the blood and its healing properties. The overwhelming desire to commune with the Great Ones themselves led the Themerians to take the Queen's blood by force. So they killed Queen Yharnam and her unborn child Murgo. Murdering the child angered the Great Ones, who set the curse of the blood upon the Themerians. Anyone who becomes enticed by the blood would succumb to their beastly instinct, transforming into the physical manifestation of what they had become. This began the downfall of the Themerian civilization in what is known as the Scourge of Beasts. At that point, the Great Ones ascended into another realm, abandoning the Themerians. The number of beasts grew larger and spread like a disease. Soon the Themerians were wiped out. Many years later, scholars from Bergenworth Academy unearthed the remnants of Themeria deep beneath Yharnam. They discovered references to an ancient land called Loran, which had succumbed to a beastly plague. This foreshadowed the fate awaiting those who tampered with the old blood. However, the warning was ignored, and the old blood was taken from the tombs of the gods. A number of strange life forms were also found. Among them were the pearl slugs, which are remnants of the Great Ones who were left behind. This exploration was led by Master Willem, the head of Bergenworth Academy. Bergenworth was a prestigious institution located within the massive Forbidden Forest. Within the academy were some of the greatest minds alive. The scholars at Bergenworth were dedicated to advancing the evolution of humankind and achieving higher planes of thought. Everything sacred in Yharnam can be traced back to Bergenworth. Besides Master Willem, another key figure was one of his students, Lawrence. The scholars studied the Great Ones, and the more they learned, the more they desired to ascend to the Great One status. The idea that humanity could evolve beyond what was thought possible drove the scholars to commit unethical acts in an attempt to reach their goal. Master Willem himself was obsessed with the truth and believed in pushing the limits of humanity. Most would eventually diverge from his teachings, but his research was critical to many. Willem led the scholars to discover many things. On one exploration, a group of students discovered a holy medium within the underground tomb. Later on, this led to the founding of the Healing Church and the establishment of blood healing. It's not clear what was found, but it was related to the Great Ones. On another occasion, a strange creature washed ashore in a distant village called the Fishing Hamlet. Master Willem sent a group of his students, referred to as the Hunters, to investigate. On the shore lay a corpse described as a large blend of fish, mollusk, and even a human woman with bright white skin and blue scales. It was a Great One named Kos. It was unclear how Kos had died, but it was suggested that it had experienced a maternal death, as the Great One was in the late stages of its pregnancy. Kos was apparently worshipped by the residents, who were mutated by her cosmic power. When the Hunters arrived, they began experimenting on the villagers in horrifying ways. They took every single one of their eyes. The Hunters also dissected the corpse of Kos, taking her eldritch blood and the umbilical cord, a very powerful artifact, killing the fetus in the process. While the body of Kos rotted on the shore, the mind of the Great One is eternal, and from the cosmic planes, she set a curse upon the Hunters, casting them to the Nightmare Realm, where they would participate in a never-ending hunt, unable to escape. The taking of people's eyes was because Master Willem had adopted a peculiar method that consisted of gaining insight through accumulating more eyes. Carol's Eye Rune states, "Eyes symbolize the truth Master Willem sought in his research. Disillusioned by the limits of human intellect, Master Willem looked to beings from a higher plane for guidance and sought to align his brain with eyes in order to elevate his thoughts." Many references to their discoveries come from runesmith Carol. Carol seems to have been a member of the faculty or student body of Bergenworth. She transcribed the language of the Great Ones into what we call Carol runes. Impossible for humans to comprehend the speech of the Great Ones, Carol had a talent for creating a visual representation of the Great One's words. Hunters who receive this workshop tool can etch Carol's runes into their mind and attain their strength. We do not know much about Carol, although it seems Master Willem and her were close, before somehow losing contact. Willem would have been proud of Carol's runes, because the runes did something that did not rely on blood. Willem did not approve of using the old blood. Carol's metamorphosis rune states, "The discovery of blood made their dream of evolution a reality. Metamorphosis and the excesses and deviations that followed were only the beginning." Willem believed in a different path, in attaining more insight, because humanity's eyes had yet to open. Following the experiments, conflict rose between Master Willem and his apprentice, Lawrence. Master Willem and Lawrence's motives were the same. They wanted to evolve humanity and ascend into godhood. However, their methods to achieve this goal clashed. Lawrence wanted to experiment with the old blood, believing in its power. But Master Willem believes man requires insight and knowledge to ascend. Willem encouraged the students to search within themselves by wearing blindfolds to attain more insight. This conflict split the ranks of the Bergenworth scholars. Master Willem was convinced that this method was superior to that of Lawrence's. He despised the use of the old blood, as he believed it to be dangerous and unreliable. He introduced his most important teaching, the proverb of Bergenworth, also known as Bergenworth's adage, which is fear the old blood. One cutscene shows Master Willem and Lawrence parting ways. Lawrence says, "Mr. Willem, I've come to bid you farewell." To which Willem says, "Oh, I know. You think now to betray me. No, but you will never listen. I tell you, I will not forget our adage." Willem then recites the adage. "We are born of the blood, made men by the blood, undone by the blood. Our eyes are yet to open. Fear the old blood." Lawrence ends the cutscene by saying, "I must take my leave." From this interaction, we can tell Lawrence was a high-ranking student, and Willem regards Lawrence highly enough to call his departure a betrayal. Lawrence attempts to reassure Willem, telling him he will always fear the old blood, but that this fear will not stop him using it. There is the sedative item, which reads, "Liquid medicine concocted at Bergenworth calms the nerves. Those who delve into the arcane fall all too easily to madness, and thick human blood serves to calm the frayed nerves of those with inquisitive minds." Naturally, this often leads to a reliance on blood administration. This means they were already using human blood to calm their minds before their discoveries in the Themerian labyrinths. Then they discovered the old blood, and Willem noticed they were consuming it more and more, developing an addiction. He realized what the old blood did to the Themerian society, leading to its downfall. Master Willem believes humanity is not ready for such advancements. We're not operating at a high enough plane. That could be the meaning of "our eyes are yet to open." So he attempted to instill fear of the old blood in his students. But eventually, Lawrence could not ignore its powers. Lawrence leaves Bergenworth with a group of followers and goes on to found a healing church, believing in researching and using the old blood. Those who remain faithful to the teachings of Master Willem were called the Loyalists, while those who followed Lawrence were labeled the Radicals. Everything Lawrence would achieve was based on the knowledge he had learned in Bergenworth, so we can see why Willem saw Lawrence's departure as a betrayal. The Bergenworth student uniform states, "The healing church has its roots in Bergenworth and naturally borrows heavily from its uniform design. The focus not on knowledge or thought, but on pure pretension, would surely bring Master Willem to despair if only he knew." So a somewhat arrogant Lawrence went all out and put his faith in the old blood. Thought to cure any illness, the healing church gave it freely. The city of Yharnam became powerful and famous. Many came from afar to be treated, and the people of Yharnam put their faith in the sacred healing church. As expected, what happened in Yharnam is similar to what happened in the tombs below, where the blood was found. The chalice dungeons are overrun by horrific beasts. The ailing Lauren Chalice states, "The tragedy that struck this ailing land of Lauren is said to have its roots in the scourge of the beast. Some have made the dreaded extrapolation that Yharnam may be next." And indeed, Yharnam was next. Through overuse of the healing blood, the city eventually succumbs to the scourge of the beast. But until then, Lawrence and Ailing Church managed to grow in power, beyond what would have been possible at Bergenworth. Yharnam became a city of worship and fear. He also continued exploring the labyrinth below Yharnam. The main purpose of the church, at least to the people of Yharnam, was the administration of blood healing. The city produced more blood than alcohol. However, this was a means to an end for the healing church, as their goal was still to ascend humanity to a higher plane. Lawrence split the church into multiple branches, each with a different purpose. There was the choir, the school of Mensis, and the workshop. Three branches. Another of the discoveries from the Themerian Labyrinth was Ebriatus, a great one who was left behind. For some reason, she did not ascend along with them. This encounter led to the choir being founded, formed by prominent church members who were previously Bergenworth scholars, with the purpose of making contact with Ebriatus. The Great Is Chalice became the foundation of the choir, as it allowed them to have full contact with Ebriatus. However, the knowledge they received would drive them mad, as the knowledge of a Great One is not meant for mortals. Ebriatus reside below the Grand Cathedral, and the Grand Cathedral is the birthplace of the Healing Church's special blood. So perhaps the blood that was being used was, after all, Ebriatus's blood. The second branch of the church is the School of Mensis. They aimed to understand the knowledge of the Great Ones and harness it for the advancement of humanity. As the name implies, a place of learning, research, and experimentation for the Healing Church. A character named Mikalash was likely the head of the school. The school was based below Yharnam in a place called Yahargul, the Unseen Village. The work of Mensis was intended to be kept a secret from the people of Yharnam. The school increasingly seems to have been working alone and even separated from the Healing Church itself. The title of Hunter was given to those in the third branch of the Healing Church, the Workshop. These warriors appeared as the Scourge of the Beast began to show in Yharnam. The Workshop Hunters served under Gurman, the first hunter. The Workshop was a secret institution as well, located in a hidden part of Cathedral Ward. Not wanting people to know they were turning into monsters, the hunters hunted the beasts under the cover of night. Many of the church hunters were also doctors. They either dressed in black or white. The black church hunters' job was to remove any sign of the Scourge of the Beast, even if it hadn't manifested yet. The white church hunters were their superiors and the most experienced doctors. They researched individuals by exposing them to the sickness. The Healing Church also included nuns, who were chosen for their value as vessels for blood and groomed as blood saints. As vessels, the nuns gave their blood willingly. A secretive group associated with the church was the executioners, led by Mort Erlegarius. Their purpose was to slay the enemies of the church. An executioner, Alfred, says the following. There's something I want to tell you. A bit of wisdom from the eminent master Ligarius. Once, a scholar betrayed his fellows at Bergenworth and brought forbidden blood back with him to Cainhurst Castle. It was there that the first inhuman Vilebloods was born. The Vilebloods are fiendish creatures who threaten the purity of the church's blood healing. The ruler of the vile bloods is still alive today. And so to honor my master's wishes, I search for the path to Cainhurst Castle. Believing the inhabitants of Cainhurst Castle to be tainted, the executioners were sent to Cainhurst Castle and killed all of its residents. Realizing that Annalis, queen of vile bloods, cannot be killed, Ligeria stood in front of the entrance to her throne room, becoming a martyr, trapping Annalis and stopping anyone from entering. Alfred eventually reduced the queen to a mixture of flesh and blood. In an area called Old Yharnam, a new disease appeared called the Ashen Blood. There was no cure, only tablets which gave short-term relief. The Ashen Blood sickness eventually triggered the spread of the beastly scourge. Old Yharnam was connected to Central Yharnam by a bridge. It got so bad that they had to burn down and seal off Old Yharnam from the rest of the city. With this, the hunt became known to all, and citizens became deathly afraid of the church. A note left in Central Yharnam reads, "When the hunt began, the healing church left us blocking the great bridge to Cathedral Ward as Old Yharnam burned to the ground that moonlit night." The church retreated to come up with a new strategy for dealing with the scourge of the beast that was spreading through Yharnam. Overwhelmed, the hunters could not cope with the countless hours and hordes of hunting beasts. When fighting a beast, they risked becoming one themselves. The workshop hunters were disbanded, and the church founded the Church Hunter Workshop in its place and appointed Ludvig, the Holy Blade, as its leader. Ludvig would become the first hunter of the church. He was a benevolent member of the church, famous in his own right. Every night, Ludvig would fight back against the beasts in Central Yharnam. The people of Central Yharnam, known as Yharnamites, joined the hunt as well, increasing the number of hunters. Many Yharnamites were afflicted with the illness, and this resulted in Yharnamites consuming blood, hunting beasts, and then becoming beasts themselves. This caused them to be trapped in a never-ending hunt to cleanse Yharnam of the illness. The healing church blamed outsiders for the spread of the disease. Due to the church's influence, the people needed little convincing. The hunted beasts, but also any outsider who walked the streets of Yharnam. Many Yharnamites credit the church as the saviors that led the hunt, unaware that the healing church was fighting a sickness of their own creation. Outsiders venturing to Yharnam were forced to take on a contract if they could not pay the price for blood administration. This meant any outsiders seeking the benefit of blood administration had to become beast hunters. The healing church eventually collapsed. The higher-ups did not escape the scourge, and even Lawrence himself was undone by the blood. Back in Bergenworth, you encounter Master Willem, and he directs you to the Great Lake. You were told the lake, and what lies within it, hides the truth, the Eldritch truth. Rom, the Bergenworth spider, lies within it. It was said, the Bergenworth spider hides all manner of rituals, and keeps our lost master from us. A terrible shame. The spider is certain to reveal nothing, for true enlightenment need not to be shared. The creature is somehow hiding the true nature of the world, and when you defeat it, you see the world for what it truly is. After killing Ram, you were granted access to what remains of Yar Ghul, the home of Mikalash and his school of Mensis. The school of Mensis had grown apart from the Healing Church. Imprisoned inside Yar Ghul is the corpse of a member of the choir, and inside the Nightmare of Mensis, we find who the official guide calls Edgar, choir intelligence. The choir was suspicious of what was going on in the school of Mensis. The school of Mensis were attempting to commune with the Great Ones, and they succeeded. Like Willem, they found an umbilical cord. You find four cords in the game that allow contact with the Great Ones, and Mikalash had one. This cord granted Mensis contact with Murgo, but resulted in the stillbirth of their brains. Most Great Ones reside in the Nightmare Realm, and the ritual they performed with its cord pushed Mensis and its students into a nightmare. You find the lecture hall in the nightmare and hundreds of dead students throughout Yar Ghul, all wearing the cage that appears to have delivered them to their terrible nightmare. Mikalash's corpse provides a gateway into the nightmare, and we find him there, clearly insane, wandering the halls. Mikalash believes that it's impossible to ascend towards becoming a Great One, citing Ram as his example. However, Ram is not fully developed, rather, she has the blood of Durkin. When you defeat Ram, Queen Yharnam appears. She was a Themerian woman who has suffered a childbirth gone wrong. She is linked to the Nightmare of Mensis, to the ritual that Ram was hiding. She is looking up towards Murgo's loft, where Murgo and his wet nurse live. As mentioned before, Queen Yharnam was in power long ago, and she was blessed with a child of the Great Ones. Her consciousness, or her spirit, was pulled into this nightmare as well. Even when you encounter Queen Yharnam's real self in the Themerian tombs, the baby Murgo screams when you hit her and when you kill Yharnam in the tombs. It seems she is not actually dead. Her consciousness is only asleep. Her spirit seems to show in the nightmare, completely separate from her physical form. The same thing is happening with you, with Mikalash, with the Great Ones in the nightmare with you too. You all exist in this nightmare that Mensis created. Essentially, as a different dimension from reality. So, which Great One impregnated Queen Yharnam with Murgo all of those years ago? One theory is the formless Odin. The Great One Odin, lacking form, exists only in his voice. Just like his father, there's nothing in the cradle after you defeat Murgo. Murgo has no form. His cries are heard throughout the game. He exists everywhere. Additionally, Murgo's wet nurse has no form as well. When you defeat Murgo's wet nurse, you get a message. Instead of prey slaughtered, you get nightmare slain. You defeated a true Great One that's elevated its consciousness to the Nightmare Realm. However, you may realize the Nightmare of Mensis isn't the only dream world you have entered. This whole time, you have been going out from the Hunter's Dream, guided by lanterns, leading to Murgo and her wet nurse, all of which is made possible by Gurman and his doll, who are eternally trapped in the Hunter's Dream. Travel to the Hunter's Dream workshop in the waking world and you'll see the truth. It reads, "Every Great One loses its child and then yearns for a surrogate." The third umbilical cord triggered the encounter with the pale moon, which beckoned the hunters and conceived the hunter's dream as its child. Next to the cord is the inanimated doll, built with a likeness of Gurman's first student, Lady Maria, who he had an obsession with. If you take a hairpin from his real doll, if you take a hairpin from this doll, then give it to the doll in the hunter's dream, she sheds a single tear, which reads, "Created from the shining silver doll tear, this blood gem is a quiet yet unfaltering friend that continuously restores life." Perhaps this doll's creator had wished for such a friend, albeit in vain. Gurman had called upon the Great Ones using an umbilical cord similar to the way Mikalash did. The Great Ones that inhabit the nightmare are sympathetic in spirit and oft answer when called upon. Gurman, lonely and lacking purpose after the church, had no more need for his workshop, must have called upon the Great Ones. The Great One responded. The pale moon presented itself and imprisoned Gurman within the hunter's dream. While Gurman sleeps, he murmurs the following dialogue that shows he does not want to be there. He mumbles, "Oh, Lawrence, Master Willem, somebody help me. Unshackle me, please, anybody. I've had enough of this dream. The night blocks all sight. Will somebody please, please?" He wishes to be freed, but is enslaved by the moon's presence. So what was the purpose of the dream? The doll tells us that countless hunters have passed through here, all of whom were sinners with a thirst for blood. So why are hunters being sent through this dream, unable to pass away, but forced to go out into the world and kill beasts over and over again? The answer becomes clearer when you kill Murgo's wet nurse. You return to the hunter's workshop burning down. The dream's purpose fulfilled. So the purpose of the hunter's dream and the hunt appears to have been to finally slay a great one. Three endings are possible. In the first, Gurman offers you a way out of the dream. He asks you to accept your death, and if you do, you will awaken in the waking world of Yharnam, and your consciousness will no longer be linked to the hunter's dream. The trophy for this ending reads, "You lived through the hunt and saw another day." The second option is to reject Gurman. He suggests that to do so must be a decision caused by madness, and he tries to forcibly remove you from the dream. He continues to persuade you to accept your death and be freed from this dream. If you overpower Gurman, you are met with the pale moon presence, the being that created this nightmare. It embraces you, and in the cutscene, you are seen performing the same role that Gurman did, of hosting the hunter's dream. Likely as a slave to the moon presence, or as its surrogate child, you guide hunters throughout this dream in an effort to slay other great ones. The trophy for this ending reads, "Captivated by the moon presence, you pledge to watch over the hunter's dream." It should be noted that the great ones are a race, but each great one is completely unique, and they do not necessarily work together. From the existence of the dream, it seems that the moon, the pale moon presence, is hostile towards other great ones. A note within the lecture building provides a practical approach to defeating a great one. Although vague, the note implies that one must consume 3/3 umbilical cords of a great one in order to resist the power of the moon presence. So in the third ending, you consume 3 umbilical cords and resist the will of the moon presence. You overpower it, And in a cutscene, the doll picks up the being you have become. You have ascended. The trophy description reads, "You became an infant great one, lifting humanity into its next childhood."